right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis?
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Well, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
What's up? Oh, I see what you did at the beginning.
What?
Making it look like OG's here, but he's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Imagine
good stuff.
That.
I know.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, sans OG.
I like it.
Yeah. This is, I believe, the very first episode we've ever done of this program without OG being present.
And it's already going great.
I know. Which is why we're calling this episode Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 295, No G.
No G.
Yeah, I had a bunch of other ones I was kicking around after listening to last week's episode.
Yeah.
You know, the one you guys thought I wouldn't listen to?
That's correct.
Yeah. I was kicking around.
I'm guessing
around.
You may have
yes,
heard it, possibly?
I heard it.
Okay.
Oh, I heard it. And I bet a lot of people right now who are listening are going, well, you know what? He's going to come on there. He listened to the show. He's just going to shred OG and Scapegoat.
I'm glad you're not going to do
but
that.
You know what? I'm not going to do that.
I appreciate
that. I'll admit it. I played around with a few title ideas like I Listened
That's scary.
You know, the one without OG for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Revenge is a dish best served cold.
I don't like that.
Uh-huh. Or I could point out, you know, for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I could point out the flaws in the episode.
Or we
like,
could,
for example,
or we cannot do that.
Or I'm just saying, these are just examples.
Hypothetically, this is
right.
what you would
Hypothetically,
have,
this is what I would have done.
But you're not.
For example, Scapegoat informed all of us that Mark Hamill played Superman.
I clearly apologized and corrected it immediately thereafter.
No, of course you did. Mark Hamill.
Yeah, well, they're both super people, so you know.
They are very.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
OG,
and he voiced the Joker, which is in the DC comic universe, so it's close enough.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Close enough.
It was an accident. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yep.
425-920-6050 is the GVM line where you can call up and you can comment on things in the episode that you found humorous and inaccurate.
But you probably won't call for this episode because nothing will be humorous.
There's definitely going to be some humorous stuff.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to mispronounce some really famous
people. I bring the funny.
You do bring the funny.
I do bring the funny.
That's true. A lot
for example,
funny.
So OG much. Brought the funny last week.
Yeah.
When he announced the brand new Gentle Giant retro 12-inch figure.
Yep.
The one coming out, the one they announced, Hoth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one he announced, the character of Hoth.
Did you really say that?
Yeah. The character of Hoth.
Well, you know,
now
it is a character in itself. Because if you look at the direction, yeah.
The planet
is a character in the film.
I see.
Yes.
I think what OG meant to say was that it was Hoth Han.
Okay.
Or Han Solo.
Why are you trying to cover for him now?
Well, I'm trying to correct.
I understand.
This
is like the next morning when newspapers put the
corrections.
I got you.
So unless there is a character named Hoth that I'm unaware of, I doubt that's what OG meant.
Fair enough. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
That said,
yep.
You're not gonna do that.
Not gonna do any of those.
I'm not gonna do any more of the cutting or anything else.
Okay.
Scapegoat and I are in the remote Studio R.
Studio R.
Yes,
I like it.
Tonight. We are not in our traditional studio.
That is true.
So as a result, the show taping much later than usual.
It is. It's we can see the sunset as we're speaking.
It's true. And also for the first time in, I think I've narrowed it down, about, what's 95 minus 12?
You know, it's a number, 83.
Is that right?
I think so.
So maybe in 83 episodes, I will actually be editing this episode.
That is a return to form.
I know. And I did edit like the first 212 of them. So I do have some experience. So if you notice that there are some things that you haven't heard in a while, or if you're a new listener, there are some things that you've never heard before.
Yeah.
It's mostly because OG has been asking for these sound bites and different things that you might hear for a number of years.
And you just never brought them.
Every single time I think about that I should be giving him these things, it's when I'm walking in the door of the studio we normally do our show in.
Yep.
Whose letter I've forgotten at this point.
Yeah.
I think it's Studio Q.
Is it Q? I think it is Q. I think it is Q.
So without further ado, Scapegoat and I do want to present some news to you guys this week. And let's get into that.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
We got a lot of news, so we're going to go through it quickly.
I'm glad to say, Scapegoat, I'm glad that you did show prep.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
I know.
Make sure you have that prep. Uh-huh. So we're going to go over some quick stories. If you think we missed anything, tweet at me. It is Scapegoat GS and the show.
Or you can tweet at me. What is it?
You don't know your own
Twitter
handle?
What is my Twitter?
Do you ever... Do you ever tweet or anything?
We don't really pull away the fourth wall.
It's BK Geek Stuff.
There you go.
That's your Twitter handle.
And of course, if you want to give OG a hard time for missing a week,
yep.
Where can they? It's Geek Stuff OG.
It is.
Right?
Geek Stuff OG, Scapegoat GS, BK Geek Stuff.
There you go.
So hit us up. Let us know that we're missing something. Call the GVM blind, whatever you want to do.
Right.
But some quick news stories. Let's go through them.
Go.
One. We got a little more info on Guardians of the Galaxy as well as Captain America 2, which would be Ronan the Accuser is going to be the lead villain. Thanos will definitely be in it.
So right away, there's a problem.
What's the problem?
John C. Reilly has been cast as Ronan the Accuser.
Okay. You don't think that could work?
No.
Why not?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because John C. Reilly is a tubby older gentleman who is basically a comedian. So
that's true.
How well... did Ryan Reynolds work as Green Lantern?
I think he worked great. I think the whole other movie part didn't work.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think he was a good Hal Jordan.
Okay.
You know, except for Nathan Fillion would have been a better choice.
Of course.
But, you know, Ryan Reynolds is in every comic book universe on the planet.
Sure.
So good
but what do we know?
Yeah, I don't know. But I agree with you that Thanos is definitely in it. They're going to be out of their base of operations called Nowhere with a K. Get it? It's funny because
yes.
it's a pun. The space station of the ability to teleport throughout the universe. Nobody from the Avengers is in this movie. That's what they've said so far.
Okay.
But it does take place at the same time in the same universe as the current phase of film. So I don't know how that's possible unless they introduce parallel universes and all that kind of stuff. But
why couldn't it take place at the same time in the same universe but not have the Avengers involved?
I guess it would be super, super far away.
Well, like one assumes.
The universe is a big place. I guess they can make
that's, I think, where they're going.
I do think so. What else we got? We got Captain America. This is pretty much going to be the sequel to the Avengers.
So this would be the Winter Soldier.
It would be the Winter Soldier.
This is the sequel to the Avengers?
Well, they're saying that it's pretty much going to be a sequel to the Avengers.
Okay.
And it's the biggest role in leading to the Avengers 2. You're going to find out more about Black Widow, their backstory, that kind of stuff. But we don't really have more details than that, but that's what we've been hearing.
Well, we know it's Winter Soldier and we know it's Bucky.
Yep.
Who is the Winter Soldier.
Indeed.
So
we've seen some stills from that. Yes. Looks pretty good. Looks to be a little darker retelling.
Yeah, I think the stills look terrible, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but don't forget, I've never seen a still of someone in costume or in character that I liked, and then when I saw the film, I you know what I mean? Like, when you see stills it doesn't really work, but when you see it in the movie context, there could be effects, there could be things missing, lighting, and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, it's really hard to say that.
Right. I mean, you know, I was going to bring this up.
I'm not judging it by the stills is where I'm going.
Not that much news, so I'll throw it in. For example, you know, there's photos of Rhino from Amazing Spider-Man
Paul Giamatti,
and he looks ridiculous, but I mean, that's, you know, the CG. You have to see what they do with it. So things look different in camera with lighting and everything than they do by some, you know, guy just taking stills from across the street.
Gotcha.
There's another movie coming out, Big Hero 6, about people you've never heard of before.
I have. I read Big Hero 6.
Did you?
So yeah.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't a terrible book. I'm just surprised they're making a movie out
of it. Hiro Hamada is going to be the main character with Wasabi No Ginger, Honey Lemon Fred, and Baymax. There's going to be Swarm Microbots. All kinds of stuff.
Is that Sunfire?
It may be.
Hiro Hamada, I think, is Sunfire, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
I do not know either.
OG usually has these facts and figures right at his fingertips, scapegoat.
I think we all do. So the question is Hiro Hamada Sunfire?
Yes, that is the question.
Well, that's an easy one to answer, because when you have the internet at your fingertips, there's nothing you can't do. Sunfire.
Yeah.
Is Shiro Yoshida.
Aha, so it's not him. But correct. Shiro Yoshida was in
Big Hero 6.
Actually, the book is called Sunfire and Big Hero 6, so maybe they're just going with the Big Hero 6 angle.
Possibly the case.
Huh.
All right, we got that. What other news do we have? Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and I, Frankenstein will be at Comic-Con. So Comic-Con's coming up really soon, and you have all the press releases coming out from Lionsgate and Marvel and everybody about what they're going to show there.
Yep.
So nothing that exciting, but you'll see you know, stuff about the Hunger Games, stuff about I, Frankenstein, which is the... whose movie? Kenneth Branagh? Right?
Branagh.
Branagh's Cinderella. I apologize.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh already did a Frankenstein movie.
He already did.
With Robert De Niro.
Exactly. Which was dead on arrival.
I actually liked that movie.
Did you?
I'm the only person on the planet who did, but I actually liked that movie, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was decent. For the time, it was pretty decent flick.
Fair enough.
Were redoing all sorts of things. That around that time is when... Interview with the Vampire came out, and
oh, I saw that. That was
I think maybe is that around the time that the first what you call it with Kate Beckinsale,
Underworld
might have came out around that time.
It was like 2003.
No, that was in the 90s, so I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, 2003 is Underworld is like 2000s.
Really? I thought Underworld was late 90s.
No.
Well, there it is.
Other news we have. You saw This Is the End, right?
I did with you.
I did indeed. I enjoyed it immensely.
I did too. I thought it was hysterical.
Very funny.
See this.
What?
Can't see what you're about to say.
I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
They are discussing a sequel.
Yeah.
So that could be fun. Evan Goldberg, who's kind of the
genius,
the Jay Baruchel him and Seth Rogen worked together on Superbad. Wrote that when they were really young and came back together to do this movie, which is clearly a retelling. You know, we've talked about it before on the show. And they're talking about a sequel. So there could be some interesting stuff coming on. They have ridiculous ideas like it starts where Seth Rogen is a cokehead and they're at the premiere of This Is the End, making it even more.
Oh, really?
Meta. Yeah. So they have all kinds of like weird ideas for it.
Oh, my God.
They'd bring Rihanna back and all, you know, so once another over the top kind of parody thing. They're talking about it. Who knows if it'll happen?
When Rihanna punched that guy in the face, I
absolutely
fell out.
Absolutely awesome. You know the reference.
Stuff.
You know what's happening there.
I do.
So yeah. So hopefully we see that if it's good. You know.
Yeah.
Other sequels that are happening. Independence Day 2.
Not still in the planning phases.
Well, you know,
because they only have two of the three really big stars who were in the film.
Apparently, Will Smith was too expensive.
Yeah.
To do this movie. So, you know, they have Bill Pullman, they have Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
And Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich are back. This is announced officially. It's released July 3rd, 2015.
Okay.
So apparently, you know, they're going to do it. And they were talking about doing a sequel. They didn't want to do one that feels like it's just ripping it off and making money. So now they have an organic sequel to the film.
Oh, organic.
It's only, what, 20 years later?
Something like that. Yeah.
it's
I remember the night that opened, there had to be 25 of us going to the movie theater. I never had a more difficult time holding 25 seats than I had that night. Yeah.
It's a good, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's fun of them.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we might have hosted a midnight premiere of that. I don't even remember. It was so long ago.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
This is going to be good for you. The Hobbit, Unexpected Journey, Extended Edition coming out.
I knew it.
Yes. So they are releasing a little bit of information on that.
So the weird thing is now, do you make the decision to wait? Because if they put out an extended version, they're going to put out some super duper Blu-ray box when the three movies are done. Probably I will do just like I did last time. I will buy the extended version, and then I will buy the super duper Blu-ray when it comes out anyway.
You know that whole thing, really, I'm away from Blu-ray and DVD. You know, I usually use a retailer Y or digital sources like iTunes or Netflix or Hulu, whatever you got to get. But my biggest problem is, if you get a Blu-ray, this is the ultimate edition of the movie. It has the best sound, the best feel. But 3 weeks later, there's a new better edition of the movie. But this time with extra stuff that you can't get on the original.
Right.
The worst is when the newer one doesn't have stuff the first one had.
I know.
To make you buy both.
That's why I have multiple copies of those movies.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't want to spend $100 on one movie.
I literally have three copies of each of Lord of the Rings movies.
That's insane. It's the original, the Blu-ray, the extended edition Blu-ray, and the trilogy box set or whatever. Something. And more.
Oh,
and
man, maybe I missed one.
You have like four or five.
No, I really have. I'm sure I can. I had the really deluxe version that came in the really beautiful boxes.
Yeah.
I had, when they slimmed those boxes down, I also got those. But those are both regular DVDs. And then I bought the Blu-ray box set when it came out. That was not terribly long ago.
But in between that, you know, it's almost as bad as the Star Wars releases, where there's literally, OG? I think there's literally 80 different versions.
OG and I have talked about this. Not well, literally. Actually, there's only a couple of officially released versions. OG and I happen to have the original versions.
Theatrical release.
The original theatrical release, but then we also have the original THX.
Yep.
Transfer, and then I must have five or six different versions of Star Wars. I must.
Yep. There's a lot. That's what I'm saying. But to me,
some of that stuff you can't get. They never released legally.
But that's my point.
On DVD.
That's
they
my
never
point.
Released the original.
I don't want to have to. I mean, I get collecting. There's a point to that. But I don't want to go and buy six versions of the same thing to catch 2 minutes exclusive footage. I can't do that.
But some movies I will.
All right.
Like, for example, if you were coming to my house for an event called, let's say,
Day of the Rings. I see where you went there.
And you wanted to watch the entirety of the director's cuts.
Okay.
You want the fullest versions.
Right. So we'll set up camping in your backyard and it'll take about 3 days.
No, one day. We did it. We did it last year, 2 years ago.
Okay. Were you the person who watched 24 hours straight?
No.
Okay.
I didn't even like 24.
Well,
you're talking to the wrong host of this program.
Is OG a big
24
fan? OG's
big 24 fan.
Really?
Not me at all.
Oh, right. We talked about the new one coming out. Right.
I'm never going to get Christina over here to watch Lord of the Rings if I don't show the absolute best.
You're right.
Lord of the Rings.
Fair enough. The longest one.
Yeah.
I watched it on a train ride. Literally took, it's a really long train ride. We couldn't finish it. We stayed on the train to finish it. Long train ride. It's a 6 hour movie.
Director's cuts?
Yes. Extended director's longest edition I could find. 6 hours.
We actually opened with the Rankin and Bass Hobbit cartoon.
There you go.
For breakfast.
That's insane. For breakfast.
And then.
That's how early this starts, folks.
Yeah.
You wake up that morning, have a little eggs. Do you do it with like lager, you know, mead and everything?
No. We had food available all day long.
Like you were a hobbit.
Right.
Yep.
And
second supper.
We started with the animated, the Rankin and Bass animated Hobbit to set up the rest of the film.
So this time, are you going to have the Hobbit Unexpected Journey first or last? You got to think.
It's going to be no. We couldn't do that. That would be a 2 day event.
Because you have
once the director's cuts come out of all three movies, there'll probably be some kind of
14
Middle Earth weekend.
So what they exactly.
It would have to be. So, and we watch The Hobbit one day and we watch Lord of the Rings the second.
So here's what they've said so far. You're going to get some serious dwarvish disrespect of the elves at Rivendell. You're going to get more Hobbiton.
Is that that's really good.
Right? You're going to get more Goblin Town and the Great Goblin singing his song. You're going to get a number one hit from the Goblin King. And they're putting things in the extended cut that are going to play straight into the second film. Like the character Geryon, who was defending the city of Dale using black arrows against Smaug. And the black arrows play a part in an ongoing story, for they're the one thing that can pierce the dragon's hide.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert. And
yes,
you know,
spoiler alert from a book that's 80 years old.
Well,
or whatever
you know, those of people who only watch the movies may not know.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure in the only version that's ever been done, which would be the Rankin and Bass Hobbit, Black Arrow is what kills Smaug.
And one last thing, there are also issues with the King of Elves, Thranduil. We get some of the reasons why he and the dwarves had a falling out that have to do with white gems. So that is apparently happening.
Gotcha.
As well. So you can look forward to that. Back to more Marvel stuff. Armie Hammer may play Ant-Man.
That's pretty good because he's going nowhere off of this awful Lone Ranger movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm a little still don't want to see that.
A little you got to see it. It's like the train wreck that takes place in the trailer for the movie. You have to see this movie because it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful.
But I don't like watching Johnny Depp crash and burn.
No, but
well,
it's
not
like,
not in character, like out of character. I don't want to see him.
I can't.
This is
actually a big Lone Ranger fan.
Yeah,
I really am.
You have to see this trailer.
So I have to see the movie. But
yes,
because that's one of those pulpy characters that I just like. And there's you know, there's a connection between the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet. Blah blah blah. I take all night talking about it.
Sure.
But the point of it is that you have to give. You have to give the train wreck a chance. You know what I mean? Like, I saw Green Hornet. Green Hornet was the worst movie, possibly one of the worst movies
so bad,
I've ever seen.
They make fun of it, and this is the end.
I know. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And there's only one shot in that movie that I like.
I know.
Because the director is an impressive guy.
Yeah.
And there's one shot in the movie that I like.
Well, I'm thinking there's probably going to be one or two shots in The Lone Ranger that will probably be impressive enough.
I don't know.
That's
The Armie Hammer thing, by the way, very loose rumor. Very loose. Probably not happening. It's just something that came out of an interview.
I'd like it. He's the right guy to play. Well, if it's Hank Pym, it's more than just playing Ant-Man. He's going to have a much larger role moving forward.
Did you know Green Lantern 2 is apparently happening?
No,
you heard about this?
No, it's not.
I just wanted to scare you a little
bit. No, it's not happening. I know that you couldn't even sell me that if you had the script and Ryan Reynolds here going, I swear to God, you're going to do the movie. You couldn't sell me that. No fucking, nobody would back that movie in a million years.
Yeah, DC Comics wouldn't buy it either. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Would not be good. What else we got? Ridley Scott has a movie called The Counselor coming out, written by Cormac McCarthy, who you may be familiar with. The Road.
Oh.
Novelist.
Yeah, sure.
Playwright. That kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It has everybody on the planet in it. Michael Fassbender, Brad Pitt, Javier Bardem.
You had Penelope me at Michael Cruz, Fassbender.
Cameron Diaz, Dean Norris, Rosie Perez, and John Leguizamo.
Ooh, I'm seeing a pattern here in the names.
It's a quick teaser. It's 45 seconds. You really can't.
Seriously, how much Latina is Cameron Diaz?
I mean,
like almost zero Latina.
I think it's very, very little. Very little Latina.
Just saying.
Yeah.
She's definitely a Latina in one area.
Oh.
What? Her name?
That's not what you were going to say.
I wasn't going to say anything. I thought you'd pick up on it.
Yeah, okay.
You are the one with the mind in the sewer,
sure,
not me.
Sure. What else we got? We got more Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange? You familiar with Doctor Strange?
A little bit. And if David Sedaris isn't cast for this movie, I'm not going to see it. I'm saying it now.
You're going to see it.
I'm not
going to
see it.
You will.
If they don't cast David Sedaris, I'm not seeing it.
We have like 5 years before it comes out.
David Sedaris.
All right. Well, you can
tell. I don't care if it's 5 years. David Sedaris.
Basically, they're setting up Doctor Strange as the new hub character for Phase 3.
Which makes no sense to me either.
He'd be the Iron Man for Phase 3.
Although, that said, Stephen Strange was a de facto leader, sort of the Avengers, like in the... What, 70s-ish?
So I don't know. Maybe they're going back.
They're going correct because originally it would have been the characters we have now. Then there were new Avengers. You know, I mean, some of them were still in there, Cap is still in Iron Man and so on and so forth. But if they just keep changing up the team,
right?
You know, because they can't get these guys to keep doing movies, or they decide they want to broaden the horizon. This is all going to lead to some giant like Avengers 10 movie where they're all going to be in it.
But I mean, we're talking about
the ones who are alive.
We're talking about phase three is what, 2015 and 2016. Yeah. Ant-Man's the first one. Yeah. It's we're talking far, far in the future.
2015 is not far away.
It's in movie terms. It's far away.
It's 2 years.
It's a lot of time.
It's
though.
Star Wars.
You're going to see, that's what I was going to say. You're going to see Star Wars by then.
Yeah.
Which is shooting at Pinewood Studios, I think.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to be, so as we were talking about Comic-Con stuff coming, Disney, yep. Kenneth Branagh, Cinderella, and then there's a bunch of Marvel mystery movies, apparently. So not only
we'll find out in a couple of weeks, we think
it's going to be Black Panther, we think it's Doctor Strange that we're right. talking about, but you have
release dates
for May 6th, 2016, May 5th, 2017, and... July 8th, 2016. So, I mean, this is what I'm saying. This is far out in the future.
Right. I want to sidetrack a little here about sure. Comic-Con. Gentle Giant announced what I'm thinking has got to be their last exclusive for San Diego, because I think they announced about 7 or 8 of them already.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable that they have... Who are they, fucking Hasbro? Like, Hasbro usually puts out, like, you know, like 10, you know, or yeah. so exclusives. Gentle Giant has, I mean, since we last did the show, I mean, it's at least, what, one? I'm trying to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of them are Star Wars alone. That's... And then they have a bunch of other ones that are non-Star Wars. They've just announced the last one, the retro 12-inch figures from your youth.
Is the character Hoth one of the...
No. The character Hoth will not... He could be a great exclusive because no one knows who the fuck he is.
That's super exclusive.
Something I reported on, I was one of the people who broke this story from Celebration.
One of the numbers. Roman numerals are involved.
I know. I'm trying to think. It was the last Celebration or the one before that where I was speaking to a friend of ours over at Gentle Giant.
Yep.
Who informed me, Greg is his name, and he informed me at the time that they had just acquired, literally that day, they had just acquired the rights to the Power of the Force line. Now, for you, scapegoat, Power of the Force was the last series of figures that were put out for the original movie. After Return of the Jedi came out, they were like late 83 or early 84, I can't remember. They were the last Star Wars figures put out until the 90s. They are, all of them, exceedingly rare and expensive to buy. Gotcha. However, and it's you know, it's like, it's Luke in the Stormtrooper disguise. It's these are figures which, if you thought about it now, you're like, who the fuck cares? They're really who the fuck cares figures. Death Star Gunner. There's like an Imperial Dignitary. There's like an A-Wing fighter. There's General Calrissian in his general outfit.
So no one cares.
Pretty much. But there are two that people really do care about.
And are these going to be?
Well, one of them
okay.
is going to be their San Diego exclusive. It is the rarest of the rare. It's Yak Face.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So a retro 12-inch Yak Face available. It's actually available right now to Premier Guild members on the website. You can go ahead and order it. I had a peek over at eBay just to see what was going on.
Yeah,
or more accurately, to get the... San Diego exclusives that I want that I can't normally get by ordering through great companies like Gentle Giant, who offers them to their guild members first. I happen to peek over and see that the Yak Face pre-selling for $150 to $250. Retail price, $80.
Wow.
Yeah. That's plus insane. Shipping, you're talking about maybe $92.
That's a lot.
It's nuts.
That's a lot.
But that
it's
is
not even.
But that's the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive culture. That's exactly what it is. Guys, careers are made. Like a part of the business they do in the year is bringing guys to San Diego Comic-Con to stand online and buy exclusives that they have already pre-sold for way over the actual retail value of the product.
That's insane.
And I am in the process of buying one. So.
So how's
not Yak Face? I'm actually trying to get a Hasbro Black Series Boba Fett and Han Solo Black Series is the new 6-inch Star Wars line that's coming out.
Okay.
This is Boba Fett, and the exclusive bit is it's Han Solo and Carbonite. Funny we should mention Han Solo and Carbonite, but we'll talk about that in segment two. Do you have any other news?
I do. Quick stuff. They may be making a Poltergeist remake.
Yeah, and this would be a damn sin too.
Yes.
Poltergeist, if we've never discussed
this. Sam Raimi is producing it. And Monster House director Gil Keenan may be directing.
If Sam Raimi was directing it, that might be something.
Well, you know, producing, that counts, right?
Well, here's, sure. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the original Poltergeist. Do you know who produced it?
I do not know off the top of my head.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, is
that? Do you know who directed it?
I've never heard of that name before.
Do you know who directed it?
I do. I'm not sure.
It was,
why don't you tell us?
It was the same guy that did Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I was about to say Tobin Bell, but that's not right.
That's not correct.
It's Toby. Oh my God.
Tobe Hooper.
Tobe Hooper. Toby. It's Toby Hooper.
Toby Hooper. Toby. Yeah. Right.
It looks like Tobe, but it's Toby. Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
Directed it. And the popular rumor is that Spielberg directed a lot of the shots himself.
Yep.
And that probably directed more of the movie that ended up on the screen than Toby Hooper did.
Interesting.
Very popular rumor. That said, Poltergeist, if we've never talked about it on this program, the only movie to ever scare me.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
the only one I was ever, I mean, petrified, like couldn't go to sleep that night, scared, like afraid to be alone in my room, scared, like lights on. And wow. I think I did lots of drawing that night, you know, because that's what I did.
Stay
at the
away.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really freaked out. That's and I think the reason is because Poltergeist feels to me like a movie that could actually happen.
It's that realism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a Jason or a Freddy, which never scared me at all. I thought they were hysterically
Slash.
Funny.
Yeah. Those were great.
Right. But this seemed like, this seemed like real, like legit, and it plays on your own. It really does play on your own fears about death and your fears about an afterlife and so on and so forth.
That's the way to do it. Keep it psychological. Yeah. Keep it grounded. Don't put a camera in someone's bedroom. I don't want to see another Paranormal Activity.
This
I don't
was
give
like
a shit.
This was like Paranormal Activity before Paranormal Activity,
but better.
But better. And right. I'll be honest too. And there's a big curse over the Poltergeist movies. If you've ever heard of it, Google Poltergeist curse.
Yeah.
People are dying. People, the girl who played the teenage daughter in the first movie is murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole thing. She was from like a Hollywood royal family too. So
that's
we
bad.
Should say. Yeah. But anyway, the point is that this one, and really the combination of this one and the second one, which I also found incredibly creepy.
Sure.
Then there was like three and four after, or just three, terrible. The first two of these really touched on you psychologically, particularly the first one, touched you psychologically so much that you're like, wow, this could really happen. Like this is something that, you know, I could conceive this happening if there was an afterlife and then blah, blah, blah. And you know, I won't give away the movie. I wouldn't.
You don't
do
want
that.
To spoil something.
No. Not something that came out in 1982.
No.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Nope. Don't want to do that.
Luke's his father. So,
oh, come on, man.
Sorry.
Really?
I meant Vader is Luke's father.
oh, we're going to bring it up
that was
next
80.
Week.
That was 80. Okay. 1980, that okay. was.
Another quick news, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Going to be some cool stuff. Everyone's grown up. I actually really like that movie. I'm going to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Tug on the
Heartstrings. That was Jay Baruchel.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. And Craig Ferguson was also in that. Yeah, really. I'm
pretty sure it was Jay Baruchel was the voice of the original.
What else do we got? World War Z. You saw that.
I did.
Yeah. Third Barney. You gonna?
I'd like to, if I could. I also haven't had a chance to talk about Superman, so I'd like to sum up both movies.
I was gonna go. Oh, you have.
Well,
one
the segment is running long, and we promised that we wouldn't do an epic program tonight.
Fair enough.
So I'd like to, if I could, just take a minute and summarize Superman.
Yep.
As many of you have already asked me, and I've told many of you, no, I did not enjoy Superman. I did not enjoy what they did with the character. I thought that they reinvented the character without a large part of the things that make the character.
Sure.
Which I thought was a shame. The best part of the movie, I thought, and this is not a joke, I actually mean this, when Kevin Costner died.
Yeah.
That was actually they actually finished his character, or they actually killed his character in a way that made total sense to the way that they had been portraying their relationship.
Okay.
So I enjoyed that.
Sure.
Spoiler alert, the ending never should have happened.
Well, Nolan agrees with you, which is another piece of news. Christopher Nolan did not want them to approach DC. They didn't want Goyer and Zack Snyder to approach DC and even suggest it at all.
Right.
But they went to him and convinced him to do it. Originally, they were going to go to the Phantom Zone.
Right.
But apparently, you know, this is it. And I spoke, if you want to hear my thoughts, we'll go back to the previous podcast, podcast. We're not going to go through it on here because,
No. And I just want to say, this was a really ham-handed way to combine the first two Superman movies from the 70s.
Right.
Superman 1 and Superman 2. And in Superman 2, he's fighting the three villains from Krypton, and the three villains go, oh my God, wait, he cares about all these people. If we just kill these fucking people, he'll be totally wrecked. And they go, ha-ha, and they start like throwing buses, and he saves the bus, right? And he's like... You see like a shot of Christopher Reeve who just the light pops on and he goes, I cannot fight these people in the city because we're going to destroy the city and millions of people will die.
Right.
So he takes off.
Yep.
And then they follow him and they end up fighting in the Fortress of Solitude. Nobody gets hurt. Very few people get hurt. And it makes total sense. In this movie, makes no goddamn sense. He has... blatant disregard for every human life in Metropolis and clearly for the Metropolis itself. And when they walk after it's all done and at the end of the movie, they walk into a Daily Planet office that looks really familiar, even though that building fell.
We don't know how long after it is.
Dude.
They had a budget. They wanted to blow up a city. I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense.
Dude.
It
is the Transformers of superhero movies.
Yeah.
Terrible. And now World War Z.
Yeah.
I want to just take a second, if I could, and just give you my synopsis of World War Z.
All right.
It was a zombie movie, but with Brad Pitt in it.
So it was
the end.
would you watch
this movie at all.
Would you watch the second one that they're apparently coming out with?
Probably, but I don't think I'd go to the theater to see it.
No.
There was nothing extraordinary about this movie.
So,
listen, if you're listening now and you haven't seen World War Z, if you're going expecting to see like some extraordinary zombie movie, you're not going to see it. You're seeing 28 Days Later with Brad Pitt in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially what you're seeing. So
Traitor Waiter this one?
Traitor Waiter?
Yeah.
No. They should Cable Waiter. That's what they should do.
Awesome.
Cable Waiter it and its sequel.
Yeah.
Anything else, Scapegoat?
I do have one last thing that no one gives a shit about. Transformers 4, they released a new car, and who gives a shit?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe this is a Transformers 4.
I got to ask you this. Yeah. We saw Cloud Atlas, right?
We did.
How did you feel about that movie? I still don't know, by the way, is the answer to that.
Betrayed, bewildered.
No, I still don't know. It was very interesting. But the Wachowski siblings are, you know, working
siblings?
On yep, Jupiter Ascending. Is the next movie that they're doing. And apparently Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis are in it. It's a retelling, crazy version of Snow White.
Okay.
They're doing all kinds of awesome stuff in camera, out of camera.
Is it Snow White in space?
I guess it is. Okay. We don't really know much about it. But they're talking to us a little bit more. And hopefully we'll have something exciting to see on July 25th, 2014. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
Anything else you got?
I got nothing.
Nope.
And with that,
yep.
Scapegoat, my friend, we will take our first break
on
this OG-less episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 295.
Yeah.
No G.
Correct.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, Hey, this is Rob Paulsen, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 295. No G.
No G at all.
No, sir.
It's like Big Kev Eek Stuff.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You're welcome.
You pulled the G out.
I did.
You're clever.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
I'm so sorry.
This is almost like 294 terrible.
Oh,
whoa.
You said you wouldn't go there.
I didn't do anything.
You said you wouldn't.
I wasn't specific.
You can't hypothetically pee on... No.
I wasn't specific, Mark Hamill.
No, come on.
So, anyway.
All right, fine. You want to go there? We'll go there.
You had something. There was a couple more little things that you just wanted to mention really quick before we got into books.
I am just really excited because it's summer TV and it is on. And I just wanted to throw out a couple of shows that I don't know if you watch, but I enjoy.
Okay.
And talk about them
Falling
a little bit.
Skies. Awesome.
Falling Skies is awesome. You should definitely be watching that if you're not. Season 3 so far is explosive and the greatest season yet. But it
really
is
really, really good.
It is really good. So definitely check that out. I'm a big fan. What else we got? We got Newsroom's coming back. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Really witty writing, great characters. Definitely check that out.
I also enjoy Veep on HBO.
I don't watch Veep.
That actually just ended.
Season 2 ended, right?
The season that just ended. Yeah.
True Blood started. You should rather just stab yourself in the throat than watching that piece of shit.
If they can't get Deborah Ann Woll, by the way, who's the name of the girl who plays Jessica,
right?
That you guys also couldn't remember? Last week. If they can't get her top off, they might as well end the show.
It's fucking terrible show. It really, truly, every time they have a possibility of good writing, they say, no, we're going to go the other direction.
Yeah,
it's
really terrible. We're going to take the Marx Brothers.
I'm just fucking bad.
But you can tell, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Is it ending?
Yeah. I think if it's not this season, it will definitely be the next. But I'm hoping it's going to be one of those mid-season announcements when they're like, only two more episodes left in the series.
I hope they say that. Believe me, I hope they say it.
Dexter, I don't think they're going to, but...
I don't know. Dexter's coming back soon. Very excited about that.
Season.
That's the final season. Right. Burn Notice is on. I actually enjoy that show. It's a good, you know, filler. It's not a great, you know, series to watch, but it's the last season.
Did you check out... I know you did, so I'm faking that I don't know the answer to this. Under the Dome.
I did see it. So it's based on the Stephen King novel.
Right.
Brian K. Vaughan actually developed it with a laundry list of producers. I think Steven Spielberg's one of them. Every person on the planet. And I saw the pilot. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of this fall. If you look at, we're going to do a TV preview more in the future. I'm probably going to post some stuff up on the site. But it's it's a drama, but it's supernatural, and we're going to talk about it. Like everyone's trying to recreate the magic of Lost.
Right.
And no one's been able to do it since Flash Forward. Then after that, you had fucking Revolution, which everyone knows how I feel about that. But I'll rewatch. I've heard it gets salvageable. You know, that's what this is trying to do, and it's not bad. There are some clear archetypes.
Do you want me to tell you what happened at the end of Revolution?
No, they're clearly the lights come on. Wait, you're laughing. Is that actually what happened?
You asked me not to tell you.
Oh, man. But you know, the show, I'm going to watch episode 2. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
The pilot has a lot of good potential, but there's a lot of, come on, really, happening right off the bat in the pilot. So we'll see how it goes. I do like the main guy who was actually in, what's that, the movie? She's Out of My League.
Oh.
He was the attractive friend.
That guy.
He's in a couple
Is
other...
Is that guy?
Yeah, he's the main character. He's one of the main characters.
Okay, yeah,
He's really good in it, and I like him.
She's Out of My League, starring Jay Baruchel.
Exactly.
Coming up again.
Wow, this is the most he's ever been mentioned ever in his life.
True. You know who else is in that movie?
Who?
Alice Eve, who was in...
Oh, she's amazing.
Star Trek.
She's
part
the same
two.
Way you like Rose Leslie and other people like that.
Yeah.
She's on my list. She's fantastic.
Gotcha.
Especially her character in that movie. And she's British. Accents are great.
Is she?
She's British, yeah.
She hid her accent so well in...
Right?
She's Out of My League.
I know, but she's great. Yeah, so Under the Dome, we'll see by episode 2. I'll have a more forthcoming talk to you about that. Suits is a great show as well. Suits, another USA one.
Okay.
This time with less establishing shots. Because USA really wow. likes their established shots. But Suits is really, really well done. I truly awesome. Like that show with Gabriel Macht and all those people.
Cool.
And everybody. And I was able to see the first episode of the season coming up in a little preview action. Very good stuff.
Cool.
And of course, please, for the love of God, watch Hannibal. This show is
it ended,
phenomenal.
Though.
I'm not going to talk about it. I know you didn't see the finale.
I didn't see it yet, no.
It is renewed. Season 2, holy crap, really well done. And of course, Breaking Bad, August 11th.
Right.
That's all I got for now.
Final season of that, too, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Comics. Well, I was absent last week, and apparently on episode 294, you guys just talked about how crappy Age of Ultron was.
We did talk about that.
I could not agree more. Age of Ultron eclipsed such great sagas as the Spider-Man Clone Saga Civil War.
What about Spider Island?
I cannot believe how bad it was. In fact, we were talking today in retail or extra shop. Somebody said that on some site somewhere, somebody wrote a post that said, this is the greatest crossover story of all time, blah, 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 and went on about it. And then there were literally 5 pages of comments going, are you fucking insane? You know, 4.5 stars out of 5, maybe 5 million.
Oh man.
You know, like that kind of like responses. But oh man,
did someone pay him?
Someone wrote, is this a press release?
That's like, what I was saying. Yeah, did someone
it
pay
probably
him?
Is because Marvel will do anything to pull their fat out of the fire.
Ridiculous.
By fat I mean Joe Quesada. These are the books I picked up.
Tell me about them.
In the last 2 weeks. So right. I don't know. I've mixed them. So I don't know what's this week and what isn't.
All right.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 4.
There we go.
I race towards issue 6 where I will get the first trade. And then I will stop buying the individual issues and just read the trades.
Okay.
Which I'm also going to do with Nova, except I haven't read any of the single issues yet.
Okay.
Okay. So Guardians of the Galaxy, great book. This is number 4. We also know Angela shows up in number 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So at the end of it, so that's where
she's
coming
looking,
in.
And I'm taking a peek to see if there's any teasing preview. Nope, I see no teasing preview in this book about next. Well, there she is. So,
boom.
They looks like they show some cover art here for it the next issue, and there she is. So we'll see how they're going to ham-handedly put her in that book.
It's at the end of Age of Ultron.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Daredevil 27. Can we please put Daredevil fans out of their misery and end this book? The art is terrible. This is Sam Nee, who I hear so many good things about. Like, people like his art. It's the most cartoony bad stuff I've ever seen. I mean, I really, really don't like this book anymore. And I want to stop reading it, but I've been reading it since I was 9.
Is it like a train wreck?
Yeah,
you
it
can't
is.
Look away. You
seriously,
just can't do it.
She
called this comic segment rubbernecking.
It's really it's terrible. It's really really terrible. On the flip side, the other book I've been reading since I was 9, Captain America issue 8 came out.
How's it going?
And I think at the end of this issue, I'm going to spoiler alert. I think this might be the end of him in the alternate universe, or maybe the beginning of the end of him being in the... He's been in another universe since they restarted the book, and it's been terrific. And it looks like this might be the beginning of the end of that storyline, so that's exciting. I also picked up Batman The Dark Knight 21.
Okay.
Greg Hurwitz and Ethan Van Sciver of Cyberfrog fame. Doing the art. Great looking book. You should check it out. Red Hood and the Outlaws 21 brings us Hugo Strange back, which I think is interesting because I didn't think we'd ever see Hugo Strange again. But apparently we did.
Pulling people out of the woodwork.
Yeah, literally out of the woodwork. So you should check that out. Lots of good stuff going on in the Batman world here. I also have Batman and Batgirl, number 21. This is formerly known as Batman and Robin. And now it's Batman and player to be named that month. So you should check that out also. Great team-up book.
It's a pretty good idea.
It's like a team-up book that they used to do. They used to do Spider-Man and
Got it.
You know, like it was, you know, I can't remember what the name of that book was. Like Marvel Team Up.
Okay.
It was usually Spider-Man and somebody.
I'm okay with the with them doing that.
Sure. Batman Beyond Unlimited, number 17. A great book I think not enough people are reading. Future Justice League stuff happening in this one. Very important stuff. And of course, some more tales of the future Batman, Terry McGinnis.
I was always a fan of that show when it came out, and that universe is very interesting to me.
And did you ever see the other show that spun out?
Justice League Unlimited?
No. Well, yes, but that's not the one I meant. No, the one about the robot.
Oh, Zeta Project.
Zeta Project.
Yeah, I did.
I have that.
Not as dark.
I know. I liked it,
but
though.
There was the crossover episodes were pretty good. Some good fun stuff in there.
Talon number 9.
Yep.
This is a book I think is going to end pretty soon. Okay. It's not because it's a bad book.
Are they going to say the last two in the series? Is that what you think that's going to pop up?
No, I don't think it's going to end with 12. What I think is that this spun out of one of the best Batman stories ever. And they were like, we could totally make this work and in its own book. And while the answer is it kind of works, it's kind of not really going. It's going more in that ridiculous costume with blades all over it direction. And the character is still... It hasn't really fleshed out the way that I hoped he would, so I'm kind of hoping it ends, you know, sooner than later, and I really think that it's gonna
gracefully. You think they should do it?
I hope so.
All right,
let him wrap it up. Whatever the storyline is, let him wrap it up,
finish the arc,
and be done. Yeah, that's what I say. And lastly, I wanted to. this is Marvel at its finest, folks. Here we go. Strap in. This is Star-Lord, The Hollow Crown. It's a Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a one-off, right? And in a million years, you'll never believe what this is. In the, I want to say the 70s, Marvel had a larger, oversized little magazine called Marvel Preview. They had Marvel Preview presents Star-Lord.
So this is the second cover, if you will. Once you open up the issue,
you'll see
this
the original cover.
Flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to see front cover, original cover, if they have any information. Of course, they don't. Steve Englehart and Chris Claremont were the writer.
All right.
John Byrne, Michael Golden, Steve Gann. These are all classics. Classic people back in the day. And it's essentially, they've taken an oversized magazine and reprinted it. In its original black and white.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
This is literally a reprint of a 1970s comic, but with a new cover on it?
Oh, yeah.
So there's no new story.
And it's smaller.
Wait.
Look at all the white at the bottom, because it's smaller.
This makes no sense to me.
And it's in black and white.
This makes...
And
how much is this thing?
Yes, how much is this thing? Well put. Are you braced? $7.99.
$7.99 for a reprint of
black and white
70s
comic book.
Wow.
This is disgusting.
But
in the back, look, there's some color pages.
Wow. Look. Can you order a decoder ring from the cereal box still?
Wow.
Can you do that?
Ooh.
It's ridiculous.
Terrible.
That's ridiculous. And you can't even tell that's what it is from the front.
And you know what it is?
You could be deceived.
I know, totally. It totally looks like a brand new one shot. It's got new cover art and everything. It's just awful. I get that they're trying to pump Star-Lord and they're trying to pump
Guardians
of the Galaxy, but this is not the way to do it.
No, I've lost a little faith right there. What else you got?
Couple of trades to check out. Scapegoat, I think you might be interested in these. I said I was going to wait, and I did. This is the Before Watchmen Deluxe Edition hardcover trades. It's Minutemen and Silk Spectre by Darwin Cook and Amanda Connor, respectively, and Ozymandias and Crimson Corsair by Len Wein, Jay Lee, John Higgins, and Steve Rude. So this isn't all of them.
No, yet. there's I think four more books.
Yeah,
right?
Something
there's
like
Minuteman
that.
And
no, Minuteman's in there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So there's going to be the Rorschach there's one.
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre is also in the Minutemen book, as I said a moment ago. You're betting a thousand.
I am. You know, I'm just excited.
These reprints. Yeah, that's what you are.
Yep.
These reprint the, I guess, the miniseries.
Did you say The Comedian?
Could be The Comedian. Could be. They're going to run you $30. They're hardcover. They're oversized. And they reprint those miniseries that I named that make up the pre-Watchmen universe. And I'm looking forward to reading these now that I don't have to wait and read them every month. I can read them all at one time.
I saw a couple of books that I really liked, you know, from them. I was reading an issue or two.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to read them all at once.
Garwin Cook, a friend of this program, actually did the Minutemen book. So I'm very excited about that.
Let's see. And can't diss your friend on the show.
You can't. And these are oversized also, so you can enjoy the art a little bit bigger as you like. And I'm really excited to read these and the other ones as well.
Can we get an in-depth review on a future episode?
Sure, as soon as you finish your Twee views.
Oh, that's not fair.
Oh, but it's accurate.
But people want to hear about Before Watchmen. No one wants to hear about Little Miss Frog Princess and the whatever.
Twee views.
Okay.
Twee views. You just want to keep my books.
You have yet to give me one.
I give you a whole bag.
Untrue.
All you're those talking free about comic, the free book, comic book
day. Yes. I'm still waiting for, you know, the other books, Saga, that I'm reading. Oh, wait, I'm not reading it.
I do have to dig that one out.
All right.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Product.
Got one product tonight to wrap up this little program.
The character of Hoth.
Yes. Well, you are played somewhat accurate.
Played by Mark Hamill.
Played by Mark Hamill, yes, in a brand new motion picture.
As the Supermans.
Yes, right. Yes, right. Well put. No, this is it's the Star Wars Han Solo in Carbonite Bank.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is from the fine people at Diamond Direct. How they get around licensing is a miracle. It really is a true miracle. They cannot do a statue of this.
Right.
Right? They can't really do statues. But if they do vinyl banks...
Seriously?
Yeah, totally. They've done Boba Fett. They've done Django. They've done other troopers.
As long as you can put a penny in it.
Pretty much.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is a Star Wars product.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's actually really... It's not... For a vinyl bank, it's Han. He's... I assume he's at the top of the freezing chamber.
Okay.
The carbonite freezing chamber.
Right.
He's already frozen there. It's an okay likeness. I'm troubled whether it's 12 inch scale or not. I think it's close, but I'm not sure if it's exact.
It's like 11 inches.
Yeah, but it has this big base part at the bottom, so
I don't know. We can measure it out if you want.
No.
Have OG do it.
Well, if we had like a 12-inch figure, we could just stand him with it. That would be one way to do it.
There you go.
Sideshow did put out an actual 12-inch scale version of this with lights. And I don't know that it has lights. I think it does.
But can you put a quarter in it is the question.
No, you can't.
Then you might as well get this one instead.
For this one, you can put a quarter in it.
There you go. So if you're saving up to buy Comic-Con exclusives, get this.
Put
your money in it.
For example.
Exactly.
And by next year or the year after, you will have enough to get the Hasbro
you'll have enough
piece
to get
from
the,
this year.
Yeah, the packaging of it.
And you know what else I really like about this is the price. It's only $25.
Okay.
That's a pretty great price. Decent sculpt. It's got a decent paint job. No, it's not perfect. Doesn't have lights in it. You know, it's kind of a wash paint job, more or less. The base is nice, but it stands nicely. You know,
it's not a bad addition.
It's kind of lean. It leans a little forward, I've noticed. It's weird.
But it's an okay addition to the
collection. I'm trying to think if it, you know, if they had made it removable, that might have been cool too.
Well, how do you get the money out, I guess is the real question.
At the bottom, there's the plug.
Okay, so you just pull the plug.
You just pull the plug.
Which is what we should do to this segment.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You really don't like this piece?
I
think it's really off. For $25,
I think it's
on your desk, sir?
No, I totally
OG
agree.
OG is totally going to have one of these on his work desk, on his actual desk at work.
I think it's a good piece, especially for what it is. I'm still amazed that they're able to get around it by just putting a
slot yeah, and a plug in the bottom.
Yeah.
And this is literally, they've done, I'm trying to think, Django, they've done two Boba Fetts. They've done at least one trooper. They've done Vader. They've done the Slave One. They've done a whole series of banks because that's the only way they can. They got a Star Wars license to do two things.
Yeah.
Banks, like figural banks.
Sure.
And they had like quarter scale action figures for like 1 year. And they were so bad that they like didn't do any. They did like three or four of them, I think. And that was maybe four or five, maybe. And that was it.
But the banks
just keep rolling. They have the R2 units. You know, the oversized, they're about
I would totally use R2 as my bank if, you know, I collected, like, coins and stuff.
Yes, I know. If you dealt in physical money what are those dollars, eBay, the internet money?
Are you talking about Bitcoin?
Bitcoin.
I don't use Bitcoin. Let's just be clear. I really don't.
Sure you don't.
Yep.
And that's that, Scapegoat.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the friends of the show that we want to talk about.
Were there friends of the show that
there
we
are.
Want to talk about? Who?
You know who.
Oh, no.
Suburban Vinyl?
No, you're way ahead of yourself.
I'm way ahead of myself.
We got to take a break, and then we do that the wrap-up.
I'm so excited. Oh, you are doing a wrap-up.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought we'd be able to skip it.
No.
Oh, come
there
on.
There is a formula to this program.
You know, if OG were here.
If OG were here,
this
OG,
argument would be in reverse.
If OG were here, we'd still be doing the wrap-up.
All right.
And so with that, we're going to take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 295, No G.
Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff. Available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it. Let's get it on.
Starfighter, you have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 295, No G.
No G.
Scapegoat, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
I guess we are doing the wrap-up. We talked about a lot of stuff in news. We talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. We talked about all the new Marvel stuff coming out. We talked about what's coming into Comic-Con, all the movie studios releasing, what they're going to be speaking about, some of the panels, not everything yet. We talked about This is the End, great movie, possibly a sequel. Talked about what's coming out for the Hobbit Extended Edition. We talked about some of the casting for Ant-Man, Army Hammer, possibly, I doubt it. Independence Day 2, you know, a great sequel that we're so excited it's coming two decades after the original. We talked
without,
about...
Without its star.
Exactly. I don't... we talked about The Counselor, which is a new movie with too many people in the cast that hopefully is good, but who knows. We talked about How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is going to be adorable. And we talked about how you really, really enjoyed Superman, and World War Z was one of your favorite groundbreaking films of all time.
All time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We also talked about there's some awesome shows for the summer and some stuff coming out that you should watch. Newsroom, yep. Breaking Bad. Hannibal is truly amazing. Please tell all your friends to watch it. Suits is also a fun show. Definitely check that out.
Also in segment two, we talked about comics that you should check out.
We did.
Either this week or last week. Talon number 9, Batman Beyond 17, Batman and Batgirl 21, Red Hood and the Outlaws 21, Batman the Dark Knight 21, Pattern?
I see.
Captain America number 8.
You broke it.
Daredevil number 27, which really needs to end, and Guardians of the Galaxy number 4, one of my last remaining single issues of Guardians of the Galaxy before I switch over to trades. And, of course, the embarrassingly bad reprint of a 1970-something magazine from Marvel. $7.99 for the reprint, black and white reprint of the Marvel Preview Presents Star-Lord magazine from the 70s. A complete and utter disgrace, and they should be ashamed once again that they have fucked a fan in the ass. And not me in particular.
Because you're not a fan.
Some other
you're clearly fan. Not a fan.
Of Marvel, no. Oh, of God. Guardians of the Galaxy, yes.
It's pretty terrible what they did.
It is pretty
I'm bad. A little mad, and I don't...
Get mad? That's
correct.
A lie. So, lastly, in product tonight, we talked about Star Wars Han Solo in Carbonite, The Bank.
The Bank.
By our friends at Diamond Direct. This is, I think, a 12-inch-ish scale. Han Solo, frozen in carbonite, with a slot in the top for you to put your loose change.
Yep.
Pretty great product for $25. It's going to look nice sitting on a shelf. You know, if you properly illuminated it and you and you put it in a little environment that it, like, you know, it might look okay in. I can't wait. Somewhere out there right now, someone is putting this next to their Sideshow Collectibles version of this, and I'm dying to see those pictures. Dying.
Side by side.
Yeah, I'm dying to see them. They got to be amazing. Right. So check that out. I think it's a really great piece for $25. And with that,
yeah,
scapegoat. There's one other piece of business we have to do before we get out of here.
Tell us about it.
Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
Check out superpowercollectibles.com for all
everything
your superpower collecting needs.
If you need to connect anything, collect anything that's super, they have it.
They have books,
toys.
They have comics.
All
they
kinds
have
of
statues.
Statues.
They have all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
And did you know scapegoat? There is a coupon code.
I do. Tell us about it.
No. Why don't you tell us about it?
I'd rather not.
Why? Do you not know?
Of course I know.
Go ahead then.
I know that you can get some good deals.
Uh huh.
If you use the coupon code.
What is the coupon code?
Big Kev.
Good,
that's
good.
Correct.
You're getting, that's phase one.
Yep.
Now, what would be the benefit of using
the benefit would be very simple. And you're going to tell us all about it.
I can't believe that you don't know.
You know what?
This
is
embarrassing.
I'm always excited about the $1,000 or more prize.
Oh, that's because it's you.
Exactly. That's just
with
why
the
I
coupon code Big Kev, scapegoat. Yep. What you get is you get $10 off any $50 order.
That's good.
Right? That is really good.
Yep.
Now,
can it get better?
It goes on.
It goes on.
You get free shipping on orders over $99.
On most stuff.
On most items.
And only in the Canada
That's right.
and USA.
So if you order 200 pounds of sand from Superpower Collectibles, you got to pay that shipping, son.
You will pay.
And then lastly, if you spend $1,000 at superpowercollectibles.com and you use the coupon code BIGKEV, you win a date with the scapegoat.
That's correct.
And scapegoat does put out.
I don't put out. I'm not cheap.
Well, I didn't say you were cheap. I said you put out.
It could happen. I'm not saying it will. I'm not promising anything to anybody.
That's fine.
But it'll be
however you want to play it here, sir.
You'll have a nice time.
You will have a nice time.
Check out the website.
Yes, superpowercollectibles.com for all your collecting needs.
That's right. Other stuff to talk about, our website, of course, bigkevsgeekstuff.com. Want to check everything out on there. A lot of content coming at you. OG's doing a great job with it. I'm going to be pitching it a little more. You'll probably never see a post from Big Kev ever. But definitely click on the links. Everybody who's pre-ordering, you know, your PS4 versus Xbox One stuff, use the Amazon.
Please use the Amazon link.
Appreciate it. It helps us out. Helps.
And it helps us really keep track, kind of a pulse on our listeners about who is, you know,
who's
interested in, doing Xbox, who's doing PlayStation.
But whatever you want to order, do it through the link.
Yep, definitely do it through
You can reach
the
out on Twitter. I am ScapegoatGS.
Uh-huh.
BK Geek Stuff is for the show.
Uh-huh.
And Geek Stuff OG.
Yes.
Is, of course, OG.
Very good.
There you go.
Got
and
through all of
if
it.
You want to hear your voice instead, call up GVM.
425. Sorry. One of us says
I got you.
The GVM line.
Okay.
The other person then gives the GVM.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
I guess there's no cadence.
Let's roll it back a little.
All right. And if you want to hear your voice or maybe give us a little audio version, check out the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
That's how you do it in two takes.
That's how you do it correctly the first time, is what I'm saying. There's a pattern to things. There's a way things work, and then there's the way OG does it when I'm not there.
Oh.
What?
Right at the end. Right at the end, you did.
Oh no, I'm saving the best one for last.
Are you?
Oh, I am.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything else?
It doesn't matter. You're going to edit it out.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do vicious editing. Although I am going to add this.
Good size.
Yeah, it's not a bad
good size for your
you
collection.
Know what? Here's a point of reference.
Yeah.
If you have or have seen the Firefly, and I'm not playing it, because I hate that bit.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
So just because I'm not there to make sure the Firefly bit happens, that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, OG.
Ooh.
See that? See, that's what we call doing the show the proper way.
All right.
All right.
It is the road to 300.
It is. And we only have 5 episodes left to go until we hit 300, or as I like to call it, 6 to 8 weeks. Because there is no episode next week in celebration of the nation's 4th of July celebration.
Yep.
And with that, scapegoat, my friend, I will end this program, as we end all programs, by saying good night, OG, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.